They're wonderful. I want to talk to you today about rooted. Say that with me, rooted. One thing that I see lacking in society today and sometimes in the church and in family is this thing called roots. And we're just going to dive into roots today. I've seen a lot of people come and go out of our 35 years. We, in July, will be married 35 years. And that the day that we got married was the day that we stepped into ministry. So I know exactly when my marriage started, and I know exactly when our ministry started, 35 years. And in those 35 years, I've seen people, past 35 years, some people come and go. You can only imagine. Some uproot. Some people leave the church, go to different places for amazing reasons. They uproot for good reasons. The sending of God, the calling of God, the voice of God, God opening doors, leading them by the Holy Spirit. And some leave because they have no roots or the lack of roots. And I want you to feel me today because God wants you to get rooted. He wants you to get rooted where you're at. And this is very vital. So go with me today. Rady and I have traveled many years, and throughout the many years we've traveled, we've seen these things, especially between like Spokane and the Dalles and the Gorge. We see these things called tumbleweeds. Anybody ever seen a tumbleweed before? All they do is tumble. Sometimes they get stuck underneath their car, and they squeal underneath their car like, it's just tumbleweed. They're tumbling everywhere. Tumbleweeds came from Russia around 1870. They impacted 46 states in America. They're a noxious weed. They dry up, they break off, and when they break off, they spread 250,000 noxious seeds that create weeds throughout our entire nation. Do you know how many tumbleweeds I've seen tumble into the church? Tumble into the church, through the church, and out of the church. They roll in because of something new or something's happening there, or they roll out of the last church and they're rolling into a new church. They roll in to consume. They roll in offended and hurt and insecure. And do you know how much fruit that I've seen on tumbleweed Christians? None. No fruit. You know why there's no fruit? Because there's no root. You got to have roots to produce fruit. If you got some bad fruit, you got to change the root. Change the root, change the fruit. And roots are so important. Now, if you've rolled in here from another church, I'm not here to beat up on anyone today. You came from somewhere, and I get that. But it's time to get rooted. Time to get rooted. For my 60th birthday, someone gave us tickets to Bob Dylan, Willie Nelson, and a dude named Billy Strings. Guy can play the guitar. I'd never seen him. We were there Thursday night. It was called the Outlaw Festival. I've never seen Willie. I mean, I've never seen Bob Dylan. He's one of my favorite. Those are two of my favorite songwriters. But Bob Dylan, he can write some songs. And so he wrote a song, Blowing in the Wind. Anybody ever heard of Blowing in the Wind? So I kind of made a little song to go with that, if you'll bear with me. How many weeds must roll in and out and never get rooted in? Spreading noxious seeds everywhere, only hurting the body within. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. I love Bob Dylan. I think he would be very proud of me today. Great songwriter. Listened to his concert the other day. The only song that I could even understand what he said was the first song. I don't think out of the entire rest of the concert I could hear one word that he said, or maybe two or three. And he doesn't even care. It's pretty amazing. rooted, to cause, to establish a firm and enduring foundation, to provide stability and support through roots. The primary function of being rooted, the most important aspect of being rooted, is to take water in and nutrients in. Just like people, plant needs water, nutrients to grow. People need water, the water of the Holy Spirit, the nutrients of God's Word. Roots also anchor the plant. God wants you to get anchored. He wants you to be rooted so that you can grow and nurture and be filled with the Holy Spirit and fulfill the destiny He has upon your life and help the plant survive periods with too much or too little water and nutrients. You cannot be healthy without having a healthy root system. I don't care how studly you are, how cool you are, how religious you are, you got to have roots if you're going to be healthy. You cannot properly grow without roots. You cannot be fruitful without roots. You got to have roots. It's impossible for you to be healthy and grow and to be fruitful without roots. Now, you can look spiritual, religious, bounce around, sound Christ-like, but you will not have the fruit that God wants you to have without being rooted. Radine and I, we got married in 1990. We've had three very cautiously uprootings in our 35 years. We were in Eureka, California when I met my beautiful wife, and we became instantly the youth pastors there, and things began to change there, and God began to speak to me about moving to another state, and I took it to the leaders, I took it to my pastor, I took it to the leaders over me, and they gave me a blessing, and that was one uprooting. We moved to this place called Meridian, Idaho. We're Meridian, the capital church down the road here, over Generation Ministries. Had a wonderful time. My good friend, Pastor Ken Wild, we were there, and just God caused us to flourish, and we're very thankful for that. And then my pops in the Lord, his name is Bob McGregor, he told me that he was going to plant a church. On the day that he told me he planted the church, I felt like the Holy Spirit told us that we were going to uproot and move there to be in Vancouver, Washington. We didn't move from Capitol until we got the blessing of God and sent out, and we uprooted again. Uprooting is very dangerous because you got to uproot, you got to reroot, you got to replant. You only want to do that when the Holy Spirit leads you, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you're, hey, we never moved someplace. We've never moved someplace for a job. Have you did that? Hey, I'm not beating you up. I'm just saying that we never did that. We moved on the voice of God. There's a sound above all the sounds. The sound is the voice of God above all the noise, all the social media, all even in your own mind and thinking. You got to tap into the sound. Got to tap into the voice. And we moved there, and we were with Pastor Bob helping plant the church, City Harvest Church, and then we were the first USA church plant sent out of there with a blessing, and we've been in Coeur d'Alene for about 19 years. That's been our uprooting and replanting. Are you feeling me? You got to have roots. By the way, I've been rooted in my marriage, rooted in relationship. I talked to Pastor Ken just a couple of weeks ago. Rooted in relationships with those in the past. Roots are so vital. It's so vital for your health and growth and fruitfulness and friendship and your marriage. Let me read a couple of scriptures. If I say code red, that means Jesus said it. You with me? Code red, John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, look, bears much fruit. If you're sitting here today, you're like, well, I just come on Sunday, kind of hang out for an hour and 45 minutes, and I'm out, and then I do my thing. God wants you to bear fruit, man. He wants us to bear fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. 7-8, code red. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Come on, that's a good promise. Hey, I just sense right here, your daughter sitting right between you, keyboards, right? I sense that God's going to just use you to write songs in the future. You're like a female David. There's an anointing upon your life. I tell you what, you can change the atmosphere as you get on the keys and you lift up your voice. The hand of God is upon you in such a powerful way. I just say, step out of the boat. Allow God to speak to you. Begin writing those down. Be released in the song of the Lord right here, because he's going to cause you to flourish in the area of music and writing and singing and singing the song of the Lord. They're going to say, hey, the spirit of David is upon that girl right there. The spirit of the key of David is upon her. You receive that? If I get interrupted, I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to interrupt me. Is that okay? It's no vote. I'm going to do it anyway. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear, look, much fruit. You may not be loud like me, or, you know, kind of obnoxious like me. You don't have to be. God wants you to be you. The greatest evangelist you can ever be is you. He wants to work through you. Psalms 139, he so beautifully created you. But he does want you to step out of the boat. He does want you to bear fruit. What glorifies the Father is that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. He didn't call you to be just a believer or American Christian. He calls us to be disciples, wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Sold out, bought in, all in. Like those poker players. All in. You abide, he hides, and you become fully alive. I want to talk to you about three areas. Are you convinced with me that you need roots? You good with that? I mean, it's Bible. It's all over the place. I mean, was there people that left? Yeah, Abraham. But how did he leave? He left on the voice of God. I'll be your reward. I'll be your shield. He had God with, hey, if God before you, come on, so who can be against you? But feel me on this. God plus you is the majority. You want to be in the favor of God. You want to do what God tells you to do. Three areas that I believe the enemy will try to uproot you. First of all, through storms, tribulations, and through offenses. And may I ask a simple question, because I was looking on the paper, honestly. What time am I done here? I'm so sorry. I need the Holy Spirit to speak through you right now. What time are y'all usually, am I usually done? 10:30? Thank you. Awesome. I didn't mean to do that. I couldn't see it on the paper, so I want to honor the time. Three areas that I believe the enemy will try to uproot you. Three areas. Number one, through storms. Number two, through tribulations. And number three, through offenses. Let's talk about storms for a minute. Radine and I have been through many personal storms in our life. We've been through furious, furious storms. Anybody been in a storm before? Come on, don't lie in church. You're in church. Anybody been in storms before? If you're breathing, you've been in a storm. Come on, somebody. Matthew 8, 23 through 26. Then he got into the boat and the disciples followed him. Suddenly there was a furious storm. Came upon the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. Jesus was sleeping. I love that. Woo! I'm going to take a nap. You guys are freaking out, but I'm going to take a nap. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up saying, we have lost our mind. No, they didn't really say that. That was my interpretation. Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Whatever storm you're going through right now, God can speak to those storms. He can speak to the storms right now in your life. We look to him. He speaks to those. I remember in COVID, how many of y'all remember COVID 2020? You remember that? Raise your right hand. People lost their minds. Completely lost their minds. One guy, I remember meeting with him, he's like, any place that I saw anybody wear a mask, no matter business, I marked every business, I marked the church, and everywhere there was a mask, I'm not going to that place. And I'm going, okay. I mean, to each his own, and he left the church, and I'm like, there was a point where us pastors, we were just trying to, I had an older gentleman that traveled Mexico with me as a missionary, and or he used to be a missionary there. We went back, and he died in COVID and so forth and so on. And people just lost their mind. No matter what Radine and I did or say, we were always wrong. We were in a storm. We had 50% of people. You have this 50% against you and this 50% against you all at different times. It's like everybody lost their mind. It was a storm. No matter what we did, it was like John the Baptist and Jesus. Jesus came eating and drinking. They said he was a wine bibber and a glutton. And John the Baptist didn't do either one. And they said he was a crazy man. You couldn't please anyone in COVID. That's all there was to it. I remember having meetings and everybody became a prophet. Everybody was a prophet. Can we have a meeting with you, Pastor? They come in with their books and papers and just prophesying like Jeremiah or something. Letters and meetings and social media. Everyone had an opinion. Does anybody remember that? Maybe as a pastor, you didn't go through it like we did, but it was very strange. Four roots that you should have in your life, very, very, very important four roots is, first of all, you need to be in Jesus. Say that with me, in Jesus. And in the church, that's you call it one or two roots, but it's Jesus and the body of Christ. You need to be in Jesus. Like if I'm somewhere in another nation, we travel Singapore all over the place. Wherever I'm at, if I get nervous, I go, no, wait a minute. I'm in Jesus Christ right now. I don't care what I'm faced with. I don't care what Muslim I'm faced with, whatever it may be. I'm in Jesus Christ. You need to be in Christ. You need to be in the body of Christ. You need to be in the church. You need to be in his word, somebody. I'm carrying in my backpack. It's over at the where we're staying. I'm carrying my fifth Bible. I've read a Bible for every one of my grandsons. I write to him every day. Right now, I don't even know this new grandson. It's number 5. He's in the womb, so I write to him every day, baby O. But I've read 4 Bibles, each one of them personally, speaking to them every day, writing to them. Why? Because I want them to know who Amma and Papi is, but I want them to know the power of the Word of God. Every day, I write to them every day. I read every day. Every day. And I write to them every day. Why? Because it's a rabbit foot? No. Because it's the Word of God. And you need to have a root into a strong family. Matthew 16, 18, I also say to you that you are Peter on the rock, and I will build my church. The gates of Hades shall not prevail. Jesus is building one thing on this earth. That's the church. You want to be part of what he's building. The ark, for me, was a topology of the church. What happened when the storm came? They got on the ark. When the storms come, make sure you're in a church. Make sure you're in the covering of the church. How's that work, JL? I don't know all the mysteries of God. All I know is that if you're in a church, there's like an umbrella over you. And all hell may rain down on you, but you're going to be covered. You're going to be protected. Because it's his bride and it's what he is building on the face of the earth right now. You got to be in the church. You got to be in his word. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, seated in the seat of scornful, but his delight, come on, smile at me. His delight is in the word of the Lord, and in his word he doth meditate day and night. He will be like a tree. Put your limbs out for a minute. Just put your limbs out. Come on, go with me, church. I'm doing the preaching. All you do is sitting there. Put your limbs out. Be like a tree planted by rivers of water, bringing forth fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither. Whatever he does shall prosper. Why? To who? The man, the woman who is in the Word of God. These are beautiful things. I love the, I'm from South Carolina. The tree in South Carolina, our state tree is the palmetto tree, but it looks like a palm tree. And all of a sudden, a palm tree goes through a hurricane. 145 mile an hour wind. That tree is just swaying. That tree is just going. All of a sudden, that tree is laying down. All just laying down. You think, what holds that tree? There goes the cows. There goes the trailer park. There goes the cat. Cars, people. That palm tree is just blowing back and forth all over the place. The next day, sun comes out. Everything's gone. But the palm tree. Why? Can somebody say, please say roots. Rooted. Rooted. The enemy wants to take out your family, your marriage, your life in storms. The man built his house, the wise man. What? You can build on sand, but the storm will take you out. You want to build on the rock. Come on, somebody, the rock. Can you smell what the rock is cooking this morning? The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. J.O., you don't know my story, though. You got your own story. You don't know my story. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know the storms I've been through. I want to tell you right now, God knows exactly what you've been through. We celebrated Palm Sunday not too long ago. You know what Jesus told his disciples, King James? He said, you go over there and you find that ass and you find that colt and you bring them to me. God knew everything about that ass and that colt that he was going to ride through the city, right? If he knows where that ass is, he knows exactly where you is. He knows exactly where you is. Jay, I don't like your grammar. I'm from South Carolina. You ain't got to like my grammar. But just feel me today. No matter what you've been through, he knows exactly what you've been through. He knows exactly the storm you're in today. He knows exactly where you are. He knows everything about your past, man. He knows the hairs. He doesn't just know the hairs. He's counted them. And I don't stress him out at all. Number two, tribulations. Tribulations. Give you a powerful scriptures. One right here, one powerful scripture, Acts 14:22. Paul is speaking to this, and he's speaking to the two disciples. He says this, strengthening the souls of the disciples. Say that with me, disciples. Disciples. How many disciples we got here this morning? The rest of you need to repent. Just change the way you think. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, look at this right here. Look at this. We must through. Say that with me, must. Yes. Wonder why you go through tribulations? Well, you must. We must through tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Must. We are in a kingdom, and while we are in the kingdom, and as we head toward the kingdom that we're already in, as you're entering the kingdom that you're already in, you're going to go through many tribulations. We must through, says this in Psalms 34:19. Many are the afflictions, say that with me, afflictions. In the Hebrew, that word afflictions and tribulations, exact same word. We must through many tribulations, must through many afflictions. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Look. But the Lord delivers them out of them all. That word tribulation, affliction, is a compound word in the Hebrew. It means pressure. It means afflicted, anguish, burden, persecution, trouble. The second compound aspect of that word means narrow, throng, suffering, tribulation, trouble, afflict, narrow. Bob Mumford gave a beautiful definition of tribulation years ago. I was listening to him preach. He said, to be made narrow by pressure. To be made narrow by, come on, church. To be made
narrow.
I've been through some narrow pressured situations. Sometimes people get married, they go through tribulation, and it becomes so narrow, so pressured, that someone bails. They're like, I'm out. It's called a divorce. It happens in friendships. It happens in business. It happens in traumas. All kinds of different situations will cause there to be. I lost my mom and dad when I was 8 years old. My sister and I moved in with my grandparents. They were killed in a car wreck, and their associate pastors was killed in a car wreck. It left five orphans of the associate pastors and left me and my sister, and I had an older brother that I knew of, 13 years older than me, and I didn't know I had another older brother that I found out later on. My sister and I went and lived with our grandparents, and at 17, I was down at a place I always hung out at, Ashwood Central Grocery. And all of a sudden, there was an alarm, and someone said, there's a fire, there's a wreck. My buddy, I jumped in one of those Trans Ams. We go to the wreck. I get to the wreck. I jump out of the car, and I couldn't believe my eyes. My sister was laying beside the road, baby blue pants, 3 months pregnant, and she was dead. They found me at my mom and dad's graveyard telling my dead mom and dad what had just taken place with my sister. Very narrow. Thought I was going to lose my mind. A couple months later, I'm in a bar. I'm sitting there. This is my BC days. I'm in a bar, and this woman comes in. You ever been around someone that just never shuts up? She never shut up. She come in. Can I sit at your table? It was me and my brother-in-law, who just lost his wife. We're sitting there, and she begins, this is about 12 miles from our house or 20 miles, and all of a sudden, her husband or boyfriend comes in, and I notice him limping, and she goes, my boyfriend or husband, whatever he was in a wreck. Really? He was in a wreck? Yeah, in Ashwood. Ashwood? I got real sober real fast. I only knew one wreck in Ashwood, and that was my sister. Yeah, he hit a girl and killed her. That was my sister. I'm sitting at the table. I ended up in jail that night. It got too narrow and too much pressure on me. We've been through lots of tribulations, not just before Jesus, but after Jesus. My wife has had cancer 3 times. I'm going to tell you the story of probably the largest storm and pressure situation that I've ever been in, and that was my daughter had twins 2.5 years ago. They're beautiful, beautiful, Raleigh and Raider. She brings them home, and in 4 days, beautiful, perfect twins, in 4 days, everything began to change. And things begin to go south. I get a call from her. Can you come and pick up Jojo, my oldest grandson, from the emergency room? We're at the emergency room with the twins. And the twins, it didn't go well. All of a sudden, you know, they're not breathing, and they're having what they call seizures. And these little bitty guys, they're at Kootenai Medical, and then they get life. I'm going to Wednesday noon prayer, and as I pass the hospital, The Life Flight helicopter lifts off Kootenai, and that was my grandson. Took him to Spokane, Sacred Heart. The next one lifted Spokane, Sacred Heart. We were in the storm of our life. We were in such a narrow, pressured situation. I thought, we're not going to survive. I remember we could hardly talk. We could hardly eat. We barely slept. I would get up in the middle of the night, hit the ground. I tell you, we just tried to survive. We'd go over to the NICU, and they have every tube you can think of connected to our brand new little baby twins. And we're in the NICU. They said, hey, you can't talk loud. All the lights are dim. And it's like, wow. I said, so I don't know what day it was, but I just asked the nurse, do you have any oil? She says, what you need oil for? I said, we're just going to anoint them. And they got me some oil out of a plastic little package. I think they used for sonogram or something. And I'm like, that's good. And all I did was just, they didn't even want us to touch them. And I'm going to tell you right now, 100% glory to God, things begin to change. All of a sudden, like the woman with the issue of blood, all of a sudden, things begin to change. It's a mystery. I don't understand it. Healing is a mystery. But things begin to change. We're in the most narrow, pressured storm tribulation of our life. And from then on, all of a sudden, they took out that tube, and they took out that tube, and they took out, then they're off the oxygen, and they never knew what the problem was, and they still don't know the problem to this day, and then all of a sudden, they put it in another room, and I'm visiting them another day in another room, and a nurse walks by, kid you not, she goes, oh, those are the miracle boys. Tribulation. The enemy will try to uproot you in tribulation. Divorce you, destroy your family in tribulation. Look at Jeremiah. Can I have my wine bottles right there? I got to show you something. Jeremiah 48, 11 through 12 says this. Moab has been at ease from his youth. He has settled on his dregs and has not been emptied from vessel to vessel. Nor has he gone into captivity. Therefore, the taste remained in him. He was unwilling to change. The scent has not changed. His flavor didn't change. His scent did not change. Moab was unwilling to change. You got to be willing to change. Because our goal is to become like Jesus. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send wine workers who will tip him over and empty the vessels and break the bottles. You may not know this, but a wine bottle is created the way it is because this right here, the neck of the bottle, is the tribulation. They would pour wine from bottle to bottle 4, 5, 6 times, and then after 4, 5, 6 times, it was pure wine. The scent changed, the smell changed, everything changed. It became top shelf wine. God wants to pour you. He wants to change you. He wants, when people see you, they think about Jesus. Can I just use your name for a minute, Nick? Here's Nick. Look at all the drags and the leaks. The old Nick right down there. Oh, smells like Nick. God will pour you through the tribulation. Right through the tribulation. Oh, Nick is smelling good. Nick is changing. Nick is dying to self. Wow. Nick is being transformed from glory to glory. Tribulation. You thought tribulation was there to kill you. You thought tribulation was to uproot you. You thought tribulation was to destroy you. It's actually to transform you. I've been changed. My life is different, and it's terrific, nothing scientific. All things have passed away. Everything is new. I don't like to do the things I used to do. And my friends, they can see the change. They will say, oh, Jay, you ain't the same. You don't like to drink or boogie no more. I don't understand what's wrong with you, bro. See, I was lost, but now I'm found. Amazing grace and how sweet the sound. I was headed for the edge, and he turned me around and put my feet on solid ground. Then he opened my eyes so that I could see the plan that he had for me. He gave me a destination and a new strong, and I'm moving strong. You know why? I'm transformed. Listen, you must go through tribulation. If you're a Christian, you must go through tribulation. Don't drink out of the wrong bottle right there. Hebrews 5:8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. That's Jesus. If you're the real deal about Jesus, if you're the real deal, you're going to go through storms, you're going to go through tribulations. They're not to uproot you. They're to change you, to transform you. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, metamorphosed. The last one is number three. The enemy will try to use offenses. Offenses. I find this generation is so easily offended. All I got to do is look sideways and, oh, Jay, you offended at me. I'm like, I'm not offended at you, man. You didn't talk to me. Yeah, I had to go pee. Stop being so offended. I tell people all the time, come to Heart, let's get it out of the way. Come to Heart of the City Church and get offended. Because I'm going to offend you. You're going to offend me. We don't want to. I remember Craig Barber. I was discipling this guy, and he was a great guy. I loved him deeply. Loved him so much. He was a Vietnam vet. Memorial Day, come on somebody. He was a wonderful guy. Hardcore schizophrenic. Heard voices, all kinds of things. I mean, I don't have time to go into it. One day he's helping me build my house, or the only house I built for us, and he disappears. I'm like, Craig, come on, man. Cops call me. You know Craig Barber? Yeah. Yeah. He says, well, he's way over here. We lived in the country. I go pick him up, and the police officer said, he says that you want to kill him. I said, hey, brother, you hang out with him long enough, he'll say that about you too. I said, Craig, he gets in the car. I said, Craig, why do you tell the police officer I want to kill you? He said, because you looked at me strange. I said, Craig, I've been building a house for 9 months. I look at everybody strange. Man, you got to get over yourself. The word offense is this in the Greek, scandalon. It's a scandal. It comes from making a little trap, little trap stick that you would trap a rabbit or a squirrel with. It's easy to get. It is the bait of Satan. If you're offended today, I want to tell you, I've been there. You need to get over it. You need to get over it, however it takes. There was a woman that brought her demon-possessed daughter to Jesus. And Jesus didn't say a word to the woman. The disciples started losing it, going, she's driving us crazy. I'm paraphrasing. Just go with me. You can look at it. She's driving us crazy. Jesus wouldn't speak a word to the lady. Finally, the lady is like, I got to get my daughter free. And so she goes to Jesus, and he finally answered her and said, it is not good to take, listen, Jesus is talking to someone that's not a Jew, and he said, it's not good for us to take children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Think about that. I looked up little dogs. I mean, it means little dogs. Jesus is like, are you really calling her a little dog? It means a little dog. And if I called you a little dog right now, you'd be like, I ain't never come back to Legacy Inn again. I might never ever go to church again. I'm out of here. I'm offended at every pastor. I'm offended. Listen. He like, I'm not going to give the bread to little dogs. And you know what she did? She chose not to get offended. She leaned into it. She's like, I got to get a miracle. She said, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus says, I've not seen faith like this before. And then she was absolutely, her daughter was absolutely healed because she chose not to uproot, but she chose not to get offended. You need to deal with your offenses. Don't uproot. Don't leave undealt offenses. Keep short accounts. Matthew 18. I don't got time to go into it. Just go check it out. A few years ago, I heard this term, church hurt. And I want to tell you, church hurt is real. I've been church hurt. Radine's been church hurt. Her throat is terrible, like you wouldn't believe, because of the accusations and the church hurt. And sometimes I feel like a punching bag from church hurt. So don't look at me and go, you don't know what church hurt is. I might know church hurt better than you. But you know what I haven't done is that I haven't uprooted. I don't deny it. It's very real. Accusations, gossip. You know, like Pastor Ralph told me, J.O., you've been concussed. I've been concussed spiritually before. But that's not going to stop us. That's not. I was wearing a chain the other day and had been to Italy. My wife saved a year for us to go to Italy for my 60th birthday. She bought a chain for me, gold chain with a cross on it. Guess what the chain costs? $3. People on social media is absolutely dragging me through the mud because I got a chain on and I went to Italy. $3! Offenses. Laban, what have you done to me? You gave me this lady. I worked for you 7 years not to be married to Leah. Leah, she got soft eyes. She got no sparkle. She got cloudy eyes. She's got weak eyes. She's U-G-L-Y. She ugly. She ain't got no alibi. She ugly. Hey, she ugly. I didn't work 7 years. Is that bad? I've never said that before. Maybe she was beautiful with little weak eyes. But he didn't work 7 years for Leah. Right? He could have got offended. J.O., I worked 7 years at Legacy in Children's Ministry. I've been on the worship team. I've been out there on the host. I've been making coffee. Man, I just been serving. I've been on the financial team 7 years, and I ain't even got a thank you before. Prodigal son. Hey, Dad, you never even gave me a goat. Your son, he didn't even say his brother, your son is back. And you've thrown a party. You killed the veal parmesan. You never even gave me a goat. Hey, son, all that I have is yours. Why are you so bent out of shape? Offenses will try to uproot you. Colossians 3:23. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. Jesus faced pain and suffering. I'm going to tell you right now, Peter, Judas, and Paul was a pain in his backside. What if what you call church hurt, God calls pruning? What if what you call church hurt, God calls training? What if what you call church hurt, God calls sharpening? What if what you call church hurt is God actually, his word, separating the spirit and the soul? What if you call J.O.'s controlling, but I'm actually calling you up to integrity? What if what you call church hurt is actually an open rebuke? I remember Mike Becker, one of my pastors, big, white, German, scary guy on the evangelism team. I told him, yeah, I'll go to New York with you just flippantly to be on the evangelism team. And then as I flippantly said yes, I backed out. And he looked at me. J-O, you let your yeas be yeas and your nays nay. And he openly rebuked me, and it changed my life. I do everything I can now to keep my word. But I could have fled. I'm offended. Pastor Bob rebuked me one time in an elders meeting. Jay, if you're going to be a lead pastor, you got to quit protecting your ministry. You're always protecting your ministry. And he said it a lot nicer than that. Open rebuke. Those things have changed my life, you guys. Listen. Don't get offended and leave. Jay, I'm offended today they brought you in bald-headed preaching dude right there. All dog about. Get over it. I'm giving you words that will change your life today. A couple of quotes and then I'm done. Is that okay? It's 10:32. A couple quotes and then I'm done. Chris Duros. Not every painful moment was church hurt. Some of it was the word of God doing what it's supposed to do. Cutting, dividing, confronting. Quote number two, if you've ever been corrected by Scripture, you might not, if you've never been corrected by Scripture, you might not be following Jesus. You might just be following your feelings. Quote number three, if you hate being corrected, you're not ready to be selected. Parasites will try to get into your roots. It's called rot root. Try to destroy you. One of them that they try to get through those parasites is offenses. If you've put your root down into offenses, you need to change your root today. You want to be rooted, but you want to be rooted in the right place and the right stuff. How sometimes would they take a tree that's struggling and not producing fruit? What would they do? Till around it and poop all the way around it. You might be saying, J.O., my life's kind of poopy right now. God may be fertilizing you and getting you ready for the future. Gee, I can't even believe you say poop in church. You watch so much worse stuff than that. It's not even funny. You need to just feel the spirit behind it. I don't like to ever preach without sharing the gospel because there may be somebody here today that doesn't know Jesus. Jesus said something so radical. He said something so radical and something so offensive to every religion out there. He said, there's one way. One. Not Muslim. Not Allah. Not Buddha. Not Hindu. There's one way. And either he's a liar, a lunatic, or it's for real. And 2.38 billion people believe it's real. And I'm one of them because he changed my life. And if you've never received Christ today, I want to let you know right now. The first song that Bob Dylan started his concert with Thursday night was, you're going to have to serve somebody. Yeah, you're going to have to. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. That's the truth. Does Jesus live alive in your heart? Or when you face him, will he say, I never knew you? Knowing is an intimate, intimate relationship. You better know him. If you've never met him or you've walked away from him, but you or you know you're not in the spiritual condition you should be in a living, loving relationship with the Father who loves you so much, I want to pray for you right now. Amen. Would you bow your head? Bow your heart. Get right with Christ today. Come on. Come on. There's no sense in you living aimlessly. God has a great purpose, vision for your life. Pray with me right now. Say, Jesus, I desperately need you. Everybody pray with me. I desperately need you. I'm asking you, Jesus, to come into my heart, my life, to rule and to reign. I declare you the Lord of my life today. I turn from sin, and I turn to you. I believe on you. I receive you today. And you promise that I'll be a child of God. So I thank you for saving me. I'm all in Jesus' name. With your head bowed right there, eyes closed, no one looking around. If you said that today for the first time or coming back to Christ on this special weekend, on a count of three, I want you to just raise your hand because we want to celebrate with you. One, two, three. Just put your hand up real high. God bless you. 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 Thank you. God bless you. I don't know, there's probably six, seven hands. God bless you in the back. Eight. God bless you guys. I believe God heard your cry, and you are now in Christ Jesus, and he wants you to walk with him. That's what the church is for. I want to encourage you to get in the Word of God. If you've not been water baptized, to get water baptized and get absolute rooted in the church. Amen. Would you stand up and put your hands together for those that made that decision this morning?